our new music. This is, the show is called On the Air. We haven't come up with anything smarter than that. And so I'm leaving the music up a little bit here because it's a new theme song. And we'd love to have you get so you like it. I know a lot of people who listen to the show next, which is, what is it?
Swap Shop.
So, thank you, Swap Shop. A lot of people hate that one. So used to play it just for Charlie's sake because he absolutely hated it. He'd almost call in when I played it. So anyway. All right. Let's see if I can get out of this music here. Hang on. All right, we're out of the... Well, no, we're not completely out, but we'll play it in the background so you can keep whistling if that's what you were doing. One of the things I was going to ask, we're with James Anderson, who's the naturalist for Marion County, and one of the things I was going to ask you, well, two things. First of all, how do you pronounce... Is it opossum or possum?
So the technical name is Virginia opossum.
Virginia opossum.
Yes.
What's is that because it was from Virginia?
They was first discovered in Virginia. So that's like the old Ohio buckeye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it grows in other states and all, but it's just it was first discovered in Ohio.
Well, since we're talking about it, I'm going to ask you a really stupid question.
All right, shoot.
They look a lot like a similar animal from the South. I'm going to ask you, are they related to armadillo?
No, they are not.
They do look a little bit like an armadillo.
So, yeah, sort
except
of.
Except for armadillos have the plates on them. But
yeah, opossums are the only one in their family or groups in North America.
So, oh, okay.
Because, yeah, we don't have any other native marsupials. Now, of course, you ain't go to Columbus Sioux and all. I mean, there's all them. But,
yeah. Yeah.
but, yeah, all the other ones are mainly found out in Australia.
They have a marsupial get-together every once a year, I think, out there in the zoo.
Oh, probably.
So I take it, therefore, that the armadillo is not a marsupial.
No, it is not. All right. It is a placenta mammal like us.
Really?
Yep.
I'll be darned. They're kind of an ugly animal.
They're interesting.
Well, you're like Scott. Scott says when he doesn't want to say anything controversial, he says, well, that's interesting. All right. Now, we're going to switch over. You said you trapped a cat by accident.
Yes. So my wife and I were power washing our deck, and we live in an old house. And my wife was doing her round, and by the time she was done, she was facing me, and I was facing the other direction. I saw this big, big, fat raccoon, and it came out of...
Was it during the day?
It was during the day. Well, I think we scared it with the power washing. So it came out of the siding, and it got up on the roof, and I'm yelling at my wife. I said, there's a raccoon, there's a raccoon. And I'm like,
do you live out in the woods? Or
I live by the edge of a woods, okay. But then I also live out in an agriculture area.
And like you said, they grew right downtown.
Yes, that's okay. Right. So
what'd you say to her?
So I said, oh, I'll have to set a trap out. So my 4-year-old son and I, we set a live trap. We put a marshmallow. Because we have barn cats, and I figure, well, I don't want to put cat food or meat or cheese because I said that'll attract the cats more than anything.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, a marshmallow would do great.
Yeah, sure. Nobody likes marshmallows.
Yeah, nobody. So we were about to go to bed. My son really was excited because it was his first trap he ever set. And he said, Daddy, can I check? And I said, sure, go ahead. And he went downstairs, and he looked on the porch, and he said, Daddy, the lid is down. I'm like, what do you mean the lid is down? And so I went down and sure enough went outside and there was a cat in there.
Well, and cats probably don't make nearly as much noise as trapped raccoons.
Yeah, so we opened the latch back up and the cat escaped. So we got to figure out another way to get this raccoon off of our porch.
Well, when we lived down in Athens, there were raccoon everywhere in Athens. I don't know whether more because it's kind of a woodsy area. But we had raccoons coming out of our sewers. We had raccoons walking down the street asking us for directions. You know, we had them. They were very brazen down in Athens. Well,
One night I heard something wandering across in my attic.
Oh, no.
And I stuck my head up in the attic, and sure enough, he was staring at me, which scared. As you know, I'm not a big... I'm a lot afraid of animals, and it was staring right at me. There was no grin on his face, so I quickly closed my door. And the next day, I called a friend who was a trapper, and he went and put a trap in the attic. And it went for, I don't know, 2 weeks and nothing.
Oh, really?
But we could hear him wandering around up there. My, okay. So he said, well, this isn't working. He said, I'll try something later this afternoon. He was going to bring a trap that would kill it, and I didn't like that idea. But so he left his trap down on the porch, and that afternoon we hear the trap door slam shut, and there's a raccoon in our – and we never heard him upstairs again.
Oh, boy.
So he was apparently a very dumb raccoon.
Oh, boy.
Now, raccoons you don't want near your dogs either. Boy,
no,
they will fight with dogs.
Oh, they will.
Like possum. Well,
yeah. Possums put up a little fight, but not as much as raccoons and skunks will.
Yeah. Now, we talked about this the last time because I had a smell of a skunk outside my house.
Yeah.
Again, I had it 2 days ago. Very strong.
Yeah.
I think the skunks are trying to get even with me because I got a call from my son who said, you know you smelled that skunk? Well, that skunk found my dog.
Oh.
And it sprayed him. And now, does the spray they spray on a dog or anything, does it have toxic stuff in it that might hurt the dog? Because apparently the dog was either so overcome by the smell, or my son said she was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, skunks like to spray around the face, especially in the eyes, because it's like mace. But I have heard if you inhale a lot of it.
And it did.
And it's very acidic. So, it probably does mess with, especially your pH balance in your body. So, the thing to tell him not to do is do not put tomato juice. And I know that's the old wise tale, but remember, skunk spray is acidic. Well, guess what tomato juice is?
Yeah,
it's acid. An acid. Yeah. Yeah. So you have to neutralize the acid.
Milk?
No, not milk.
Okay.
It's peroxide, a baking soda, and dish soap. It's of your alkalinities.
Yeah, okay.
And I forget the actual concoction of each one, but you put it together and do it outside because you don't want to inhale the fumes.
Yeah.
But you put that on the skunk spray and do it a few times, and eventually it does get rid of the smell. And then over time, it will go away.
Well, we happened to, as I told you, we went down to my son's house, and it was right the day after that happened.
Yeah.
And that dog still stunk.
Yes.
It stunk forever.
It's going to take quite some time.
Yeah. And not only did the dog smell, but since my son went out and grabbed the dog, smelled still.
Yes, yep.
I think he's going to have to burn those clothes. Anyway.
Probably.
Now, if you see a skunk, what should you do so you don't get sprayed?
So the thing to do is just to stay still and stay quiet. And I've done this before.
Really?
Skunks can't see very well.
Oh.
It's not they're the best hearers, but they don't hear as well as other animals.
Uh-huh.
But I've had some that get, up close, very personal. And then as long as you stay still and quiet, they'll just walk away. But if you start screaming and startle it, of course, then it's going to do its thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, how close do you have to be to smell it strongly?
Oh, strongly? Oh, probably a half mile, and you probably could.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the fact that I walk out my back door, this has happened twice. Once not that long ago, and once right before I saw you last month, I think that there's a relationship there.
Oh,
are you sending those skunks
to my
house?
I could. Yeah, they can spray up the 10 to 12 feet.
Oh, my. Well, I walked outside the door, and it smelled like it was right there.
Yeah.
We do have some undergrowth right by our back door. But,
okay.
It was really strong, but
I mentioned this on your show, and I know I've mentioned on Charlie's show in the past, but what else it could possibly be as well, it could be an owl that got sprayed, because great horned owls eat skunks.
Oh,
because I tell people, is it crazy, you're 1 minute it's fine, and the next minute it just, you get that strong smell, and then within over time, it dissipates or disappears, and they're like, yeah. And I said, it could be possibly a great horned owl that just flew by.
Do we have a lot of great horned owls in the area?
In this part of the county, not so much since it's downtown, but there are some that fly by, but more of your wooded section, so out by Big Island and all that. Yeah, there's quite a few great horned owls.
I had an interesting experience as in them. Yeah, we got plenty of time. As a youngster, I was playing in the South Bend Symphony Orchestra, and we had windows where we practiced, and I was looking out the window, and there was this giant white bird across the street.
Yeah,
and that giant white bird stayed there for several weeks.
Oh yeah.
And we found out it was a snow owl. Now, often does that happen?
For most part of Ohio, it's pretty rare.
This was Indiana, northern
Indiana. Oh, northern Indiana. Okay, yeah. Well, then
up by the lake.
Yeah, that's more common because those guys are what's called facultative migrators. So that means they only migrate if they have to. So they're up in the Arctic tundra.
Yeah.
And they primarily feed what are called lemmings, which are basically giant mice.
Fish.
Lemmings? Yeah, lemmings.
Oh, the ones that jump off the cliff.
No, not those.
Okay.
That's why
we have James on, so he can straighten me out.
Yeah, they just look like a giant rat.
Oh.
Up in the Arctic tundra, and that's what their primary diet is. Well, like we were talking earlier with our guest caller, when the lemming population's up, the snowy owl population's up, so they're going to stay up in the Arctic tundra for the winter.
Yeah.
But when the lemming population's down, the snowy owl says, well, I can't stay here or I'll die, so they migrate down south. Usually in Ohio, it's usually up by Lake Erie and where you were in northern Indiana, but like in previous years, I mean, we were even getting some in Marion County.
Snowy owls?
Yeah, there were a couple, about two or three around Big Island and Kildare Plains Wildlife Area this year or this winter we had.
Bad shopping up north, apparently.
I guess. And then there was back in 2013 or 14 when I was just almost finished with Rio Grande, there was some clear down in Athens. And that's
that's
rare.
Pretty far south, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's really showing you that a lot of them migrated down.
Okay, now we mentioned earlier, you mentioned Athens, which reminded me of a rattlesnake that bit a lady down there.
Copperhead?
Yeah, it was a copperhead. But you, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the snakes are out and about.
Yes. Yep.
Now, will most snakes, when you're walking on a tall grass trail, usually you'll see them from a distance.
Yeah, for the most part.
And do they try to get out of your way, most of them?
Oh, yeah. As soon as they see you, they're like, oh, no, there's that person or what, and they'll try to slither.
That guy might step on me.
Yes, and they'll try to slither away. Now, okay. It's when you're up close, and especially like the garter snakes, they're going to do that coil and that striking position. And, of course, they're going to say, back off, stay away from me, I just want left alone. And then as long as you leave them alone, they'll slither away.
If I wear a sign that says I'm afraid of snakes, will they leave me alone?
Sure,
sure. They'll buy anything. How many fox do we have? Ooh. Do we have a lot of fox in the area?
Yeah, red foxes. Those are our most common species.
Really?
The gray fox, not as much in Marion County because we're more open.
What's the difference?
So gray foxes, I mean, within color, but also their habitat is a lot different. Red foxes are more open land. Gray foxes are more foresty areas. So again, Hocking Hills would be a great area to find a gray fox. And also gray foxes are the only wild canines that can climb trees.
Oh, huh.
So
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Well, they're nocturnal.
Oh, okay.
And that's another thing. Gray foxes are more nocturnal versus red foxes are more diurnal or active during the daytime.
Well, now, I have seen red foxes down in Hocking County probably is where I saw it the most because my wife had a paper route that we drove around and that was at night though.
We could see them out on the
highway then. Fortunately, I never ran over one. I tried very much not to run over animals. I have hit and killed three deer and three cars.
Wow.
It gets expensive.
Yeah, it does.
It starts to make you feel like they're looking. I had a very large deer. I was driving at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember why. But I was driving at 3 o'clock, and no, I was not drinking. I was driving at 3 o'clock in the morning and came down a hill in Athens County, came down a hill, and this giant, I mean huge deer,
oh, yeah,
lots of little horns sticking off of him, looked at me, and I hit the brakes, and he didn't move. He just looked at me.
Yeah.
And then he walked up and looked in the window, and I thought, what's he going to do? And he didn't move, so I had to back the car up and go around him, much like I've had a Canadian goose here in Marion.
Oh, yeah.
Back me down.
Yeah, they're a little aggressive.
Yeah, they sure are. Oh, my. Okay. I was going to say something about that deer. What was I going to say about the deer? The one of the deer that I hit and killed, unfortunately, it was either the deer or a man. There was a man out on Route 33 trying to wave me down, and I wondered, why in the world is he waving me down? There was a herd going across the road, and so I hit the brakes, and I had a choice of deer or him, and I hit the deer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I hate doing that. I'm not a big fan of hunting. I understand that it's legal and people have every right to go hunting, and I know that a lot of people have a wonderful time when they go hunting. But I don't like killing deer. We did on our walk the other day by the Olentangy River, we saw several very large male deer down there.
Oh, yeah?
At different places. I assume they don't congregate and have a party.
Usually, no.
Yeah.
Your older males, no. Now, the younger males will, probably.
Well, my son's house is on a ravine that goes down to the river.
Okay.
And one of them was in the ravine and didn't seem to be frightened of us at all.
Yeah, they get pretty habituated around people once they figure, well, you're not a threat. So.
Well, he wasn't afraid of it, us. And we got to take a break here in a couple of seconds, in about 15 seconds. So I'm just going to let you know you're listening to WWGH 107.1. And if you're interested in talking to our guest, James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion County and the Parks District, you can call 740-383-9944. And we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back.
Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
All right, we're back with James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion Park Districts, and we're having an interesting talk. I told James that I was going to tell him about a close encounter with a moose. I know we don't have moose, right, in Ohio?
No.
Probably you'd have to go up into Canada to find the closest moose, wouldn't you?
Canada, Western United States, Maine, those states.
Well, I have a friend, who got the opportunity to work at Anchorage, Alaska, in the university there, University of Alaska. And the first week he was up there, I called him just to tease him. I said, how many deer or moose have you seen? They don't come around here. They're too busy. And about 2 weeks later, he gave me a call and said that a man had been stomped to death by a moose in their parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So I told him to stay away from the moose, and he did. He was very good about that. Now, I have...
It was probably during the mating season.
Ah, yeah.
Because I've heard that, not with moose, but I've heard that with elk in Colorado.
They get...
Testy. The males are a little testy. And of course, and it's not really just the elk's fault. It's the people's fault, not being smart. And
yeah, stay away from them.
Yeah, and they want to get close pictures. And then next thing you know, these elk and moose and like bison out in Yellowstone, they attack the people.
Yeah, and how stupid it is to stop your car, get out of it, and walk towards a bear in Yellowstone.
It's so funny you said that. My wife and my family and I went to Smoky Mountains last summer.
I didn't mean to call your wife stupid.
No. So, but that exact same thing happened. We were driving.
Okay, we have a caller.
Oh,
hang
we got
on.
A caller.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's see what their caller has to ask. Hang on.
You're on the air with James Anderson. How can we help you?
Yeah, I just heard you guys this morning talking about your fishing license.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they go from anywhere from 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year.
Oh, okay.
To lifetime.
Yeah, he mentioned the lifetime.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the resident, anybody above 66 gets a better deal if they buy a resident or, you know, your 135 or whatever.
I'm so old, they ought to give it to me for free.
Some states do.
Well, I know. I'm 72, and I only pay $10 for mine.
Ah, yes. Well, we're close.
But anybody over, like I say, 66 and on, that would be their price anyway.
Are you a big fisher person?
Oh, yeah. I hang more to the lakes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I had a question for James, too.
Sure, yes. Let's go.
James, do you know anything, you know, where you cross Silver Street, 309?
Yeah.
Used to be the old Baker Woods.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I've been seeing a truck from Crawford County, and they go back in there with guns and stuff. I know it's no trespassing, but we saw a going out last night, deer looking, you know, and we saw a little young one come out, and her front leg was kind of mangled.
Oh, yeah.
And she just barely made it across the road.
Okay.
And we were just wondering if there's anybody, you know, you contact or what you can do about that. Because, I mean, they go in there quite a bit through the week or on the weekends, and they go back in there with their shotguns and stuff. But I know it's not supposed to be.
Yes, well, here, I was looking it up. All right, yes, call our Marion County Wildlife Officer, Chad Grody, because he's the guy who handles hunting fishing laws in Marion County. And I actually have his phone number. This is his.
I got it right here on my book.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
pass
it
along for us, though, James.
Yeah. So his number is 614-745-7210. And, again, he's the wildlife officer, so he handles those kinds of things.
Huh.
Okay. I will check that out. Thank you much.
Yes, thank you for
calling.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, now, when I was traveling to and from Chicago, from northern Indiana, we went through woods and up by the Lake Michigan and stuff like that. And I was going to catch my train, and a young deer ran across the road and caught its leg on a fence. And
yeah.
I could watch its leg go end over end. It just sliced it right off.
Yeah.
And so when I got into Chicago, I called the natural resource people of the area, and I said, well, what do I do if I go back there? I don't have a gun. What should I do with the animal? I'm sure it's just laying there. Yeah. She said, no, you'd be very surprised how many three-legged deer are shot in the spring when the season starts.
Oh, yeah.
And she says most of them live fine. They because it gets not cauterized, but when it's sliced off like that, that evenly, it kind of stops the blood flow, so they wander on.
Build in or something.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that happens, but this lady from the natural resource said a lot of three-legged deer live a fine life.
Huh.
So, anyway.
I've never seen a three-legged deer in the wild, but I have in rehab facilities.
Have you? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't either, but then I don't go looking for deer. Yeah. So
but back to,
yes,
to my
sorry.
Story. No, you're fine. So we were at Smoky Mountains last summer, and my family and I we were about the entrance of the park, and people were getting out of their cars and running up to this bear, and it was a mom with cubs.
Oh, gosh.
And just get fetched.
Black bear?
Black bear.
Uh-huh.
And of course I'm not yelling at my wife, but I'm just saying, I said, this is so stupid.
Yes.
And then she said, okay, we're going to go. And I never heard anything. So luckily, I mean, that family didn't get hurt.
Oh,
but a couple weeks later, there's a visitor center there at the Smoky Mountains. He came very close to getting attacked by a black bear.
Yeah.
And again, he was getting very, very close.
Well, yeah, and if they have babies with them, they're not going to put up with you.
Yeah.
And they weigh, what, 200-300 pounds, the mamas?
They can. So and in the national parks, if they catch you doing that, that's a fine.
Is it? It didn't used to be. First time I went through Yellowstone Park, I went with my father. We took a little camping trailer and went. We drove through it and spent a couple days there. People get out and try to go over and pet moose and they were just dumb people.
Yeah.
Now I got out, and I think I mentioned this the last time, I got out and my dad yelled at me, get back in the car, and there was a bear heading our way. So I did get back, and I have very strong desires to stay alive, so I ran away from that bear. Oh me. Hey, I have a trivia question here.
All right.
That I'm going to ask you, because I've never heard of this critter. Townsend's Pocket. That's the name of the critter. Or Botta's Pocket. Or Knox Jones Pocket. For some reason or other, they call this animal a pocket.
Okay.
What type of animal do you think that is? And it's very common in this area.
In this area, I see. Would it be pocket? I would say it had to be something in the rodent family.
I think it is.
I would say maybe a squirrel.
Very close. A gopher.
Oh, a gopher.
I've never heard of a pocket animal.
Where that comes from. Okay. Well, gophers we don't have in Ohio. They're out west.
Okay.
But we had their cousin, Buckeye Chuck. So
That's kind of what I was thinking of, I guess. Yeah. Yes, that's right. My son.
A pocket gopher. That now makes sense.
Okay. My son used to be a baseball coach, and he went out, followed his girlfriend out to California, which is where he still is, and decided, well, there's no college baseball out here, so I'll coach high school baseball. They have gophers galore out there. And the problem with gophers on a baseball diamond, they dig.
Yes.
And kids were turning their ankles all over the place because you can't see where they've been until you step in it.
Groundhogs are that problem.
Same thing?
Too.
With
a lot of horses and cattle, farmers don't like that because especially horses running through and then they twist their legs. And the other thing too is that when they have their burrow system, which is their underground home, it makes that top layer soil very weak. So when you get this heavy machinery, agriculture, tractors, combines, they fall into like a giant sinkhole.
Oh, my.
And it's killed a few farmers.
Oh, yeah, that's not good at all.
So groundhogs kind of have that same reputation of the old pocket gophers.
The pocket gophers. I'm glad that I learned about pocket animals. It sounds cute.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think of something else to talk about. Do you have something that you'd... Oh, you know, one of the questions I did have. Do we have a major problem of people keeping as pets animals that they shouldn't?
Yes.
Yes,
unfortunately.
What ones should we watch out for?
In the state of Ohio, you are not allowed to keep any native wildlife. There are only three institutions that are allowed.
Okay.
For education, so that can be for, like me, through parks or...
Yours are all dead.
I do have a permit to keep live animals.
Okay.
But teachers are also under that same... that same net. So if you're a school teacher, you can have native wildlife. Research facilities, so like Marion OSU, if they wanted to do research on an animal, they could get a permit. And then rehab facilities. So the closest wildlife rehab facility we have is called Crow's Hollow out by Richwood in Union County. That's where I graduated, was from Richwood.
Okay.
And those are the only three groups. Now, I know I get this all the time. I get people say they either had one or they have a pet raccoon or a skunk and all that. And then, of course, with the skunk, they say, oh, the vet, you know, debagged it and all. Well, I found out the vet can get in trouble with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, in the past, you were like you were talking with the Bobcat. Yeah. Legally, you were allowed to.
Yeah, they ended that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Dick, the owner of the Bobcat, ended it pretty quick when it tore up his several $100 leather jacket.
Yes.
They have sharp claws even if they've been trimmed back.
Oh, I bet.
Anyway, okay, now, what are probably the most abused snakes, maybe? Or I'm trying to think of which animal would people keep as a pet that really they shouldn't.
Turtles would probably be the big one.
Oh, yeah.
Not snapping turtles, but painted turtles.
Yeah, because they're pretty and they really aren't aggressive.
Yeah, not like here. Now, like in eastern Ohio, the box turtle, they are
bigger.
They're a little smaller.
Oh, okay.
But they're more friendly. They don't attack. If they're scared, most of them, within their name, they box up. Versus like a painted turtle, they'll hunker in, or sometimes if they feel really aggravated, they will bite. But yeah, box turtles are a really big problem, and we don't want to have as many box turtles as we used to. But most of them, again, are found in eastern Ohio. So everything probably like Mount Vernon and eastward would be where you'll find a lot.
Now that you say that about turtles, my wife and I, we took a walk not too long ago on the trail, and I didn't see any turtles out there.
That second bridge?
Yeah. And
hit and miss.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
What are those? Are those usually box turtles?
Painted turtles.
Oh, are they?
Okay. Yeah. We don't have much box turtles in Marion County, not just because of the people, but it's just habitat. We're more open versus box turtles are more forested areas.
Oh, okay.
So, all like, right. I don't know if you've been, like, Mohegan. I mean, Hocking College or Hocking Hills would be a really, really great place to find box turtles.
Okay, but leave them alone, right?
Yes, leave them alone. Leave them in the wild. Take pictures. I always take a bunch of pictures, but yeah, leave them in the wild.
What if you come across, let's say you come across a raccoon that's been wounded?
Yeah.
What should you do?
So what you could do, you do need to be very careful, especially with animals like raccoons.
They'll bite you.
Well, yeah, because of course, there's a chance of rabies and distemper. Those are probably the two top diseases. You know, you really have to be careful. Like we just mentioned with the one caller, you know, if it's decent hours, you know, call the Division of Wildlife. If you have a local rehab facility, again, here in Marion County would be Crow's Hollow out in Richwood. But animals like that, I would just say just really leave it alone. And again, try to get a hold of the wildlife officer.
Fantastic. Good advice from James Anderson, our naturalist here in Marion County.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here. We're here at WWGH 107.4, and we're with James Anderson, who is the naturalist for the Marion County Park District. I always have to look at his shirt.
Oh, you got to look at my hat, too.
I'm never sure whether it's in Park District or county.
I've been called all kinds of. The last 5 years, I've been called Parks and Rec. I've been called the Aquatic Center. I've been in
the Aquatic Center. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now, if somebody, there are young people that do listen to this show. Believe it or not, we've had several call in. If there's a young person listening, or for that matter, a not so young person listening, how could they get into what you're doing?
So, and natural resources. So definitely, if they're still in school, I would just highly recommend to just be involved in any groups or organizations, especially if they go to any of the schools at FFA. I think all of them except for the city schools in Pleasant, but the other county schools do. FFA is Future Farmers of America. Yeah. And that's actually how I got started in the whole natural resources field. Was there's a contest, and there's a wildlife contest, and that's how I really fell in love.
And you were from down in Richwood.
So, yes, yeah. And then my ag teacher told me to go to Hocking College, where that's where I got my associate's degree in wildlife management. And then afterward, I got my bachelor's for the University of Rio Grande.
Have you always been you're gifted as far as your knowledge, your retention of natural knowledge. Have you always been interested in stuff like
that? You know, it's actually kind of funny. I get that question a lot. No, growing up, because I lived in most of my early childhood was actually in southern Delaware County, so like Polaris region. Uh-huh. But I was there before Polaris was all there. I was uh-huh. before Polaris was the woods. Most of it was agriculture. And that's where
he's not as old as he sounds, by the way.
I feel old at times. But anyhow, most of my field or going outside wasn't in the woods or the creek. It was farming. It was being out with our cows or sheep and rabbits. And
some critter pops up and you look at it.
That's right. Yeah. But really wasn't until college until I really got into nature. So not really that terribly long, about 10 years.
So you finished your degree at Rio Grande. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where I got my bachelor's in wildlife fishery conservation management.
The only thing I know two things about Rio Grande. Bob Evans.
Bevo Francis.
Oh, yes, I do know Bevo. I met Bevo.
Have you?
Yeah. And the other thing I know about is they didn't have very good baseball program when my son was playing baseball. No. They may be better now.
Their softball, I guess, is pretty popular. All right. The Red Storms. But no, what was pretty interesting about my Rio Grande program was we were the last class to be up still at Hocking College. So we had two professors from Rio that drove up Monday through Friday to do our core classes, our wildlife classes, and then we took the other, what do you call, electives through Hocking. So it was cheaper and easier because, you know, Hocking's at a tech level, not at a university level. But I graduated in 2014, and we were the last class that they stopped that program. Now you have to do everything down at Rio Grande, which is more expensive.
Yeah, well, so there's a method in their madness.
Yeah,
there.
So I definitely lucked out. But, you know, it's actually kind of funny. My wildlife degrees are actually not in naturalists, because there are actual naturalist degrees. My degree overall focuses like Big Island wildlife area.
Uh-huh.
That's where my degree focuses. So mainly how to utilize the land and how to focus it for wildlife.
So what did you think you were going to be?
Well, that's a funny story too. When I first got in high school, when I talked about an FFA, I first wanted to be a game warden or wildlife officer because I said, you got a badge and a gun and you get to tell people, hey, you can't fish or can't hunt.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
Yes. But then when I went to Hocking College, I fell in love with what's called the Wildlife Society. And it's a group, an organization, and we focus on a lot of wildlife research and wildlife projects. And I said, this is what I want to do. Well, you know, most colleges, you have to do an internship, you know, in order to graduate. Well, my first internship was down in Kentucky, down in Carlisle, which is in between Lexington and Mayville, and in environmental education / naturalist. And then that's when I'm like, all right, this is what I really, really want to do.
Okay.
So I've been in the naturalist field since 2010. So.
I like that. I like the name naturalist. I'd like to be considered a naturalist.
Yes.
That sounds very green.
So what I tell like high schoolers, I tell them, I say, you know, you got to try new things because you never know where your feet might land.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny when you say naturalist. When I go to the nursing homes, they'll say, I was a naturalist in the 60s and all that. And I'm like,
Does that mean you went to rock and roll concerts without a top on?
That's right.
Now, I know you have several volunteers that help you out.
Oh, yes, quite a few.
What can somebody do to help you out, and how can they get a hold of you to volunteer?
Oh, that's a great question. So, I mean, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. We have from just picking up trash to Like at the trailhead, there's wheat eating around the daylily beds. We have a guy who mows. We have a person who helps blow off debris. My boss, Dan Sheridan, and I will, about a couple times a month or so, we'll blow off stick and rocks off of the entire Bering Tallgrass Trail. And, of course, the other parks, if you don't want to do just Tallgrass Trail, there's, again, with Terradise by Caledonia, Greensburg by Prospect, Myers Woods by Morrill. Just keeping an eye on them, see if there's any type of maintenance, if there's a tree down. I mean, and then if everything goes back to normal, you know, we have our education opportunities. So if you want to do education programs, so yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities you can do. But to get a hold of us, several ways, you can contact us through Facebook on the Marion Tallgrass Trail page. We have a phone number at the county building, 740-223-4161. Or we're also on Instagram, YouTube. So there's a lot of other social media outlets you can get a hold of us.
If I volunteer, will you promise not to put me in the trash pickup? Because,
sure,
you know, you can pick up those little plastic bags and there can be critters underneath.
There could be. There could be.
I don't like critters.
Yeah.
All right. So if they want to get in touch with you, they can go to your Facebook page and give that number again, because I think people, they don't ever write it down.
So again, this is at our accounting building. It's 740-223-4161.
Should they ask for you, or does
they can ask for me or Dan, or just say, hey, I heard your show and I'd like to volunteer.
So. Yeah, fantastic. I imagine a lot of your volunteers are people of my age group.
Yes, probably more than half are retired.
Yeah. Now, do you provide them with the equipment they need, or should they bring their own bags? Or
we have some equipment, like when it comes to trash pickup and all. Yeah, we do have bags, but more of, I guess you call it, your more heavy maintenance. So like chainsaw, you should bring your own and all that. But
Because you better know how to use it.
That's right. That's right. Like our person who mows, I mean, we have an actual mowing tractor that that the park district technically owns.
Yeah, so. You thanked somebody the other day on Facebook for doing your mowing. Yeah.
Yes. Randy Knotts.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's a local here in Marion.
Now, do you have a lot of problems with plastic bags and plastic bottles on the trail?
Unfortunately, within the first mile, especially at the trailhead because of the parking lot, and then around the lake, especially this time of year, because people want to drink and just flow.
Why don't they pick that stuff
up? I don't know. It bothers me too. So yeah, I mean, it's never ending. And like I said, the first mile is always the worst. Usually by after mile two, the trash is not as abundant.
Yeah, okay.
Because most of your people after mile
they give
two
up.
Are, well, give up, but they're bikers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, that's one of the things we had a problem with. There's a walking bike path along the Olin Tangi that we were walking along with my son the other day.
Yeah.
And a young man came around a corner, and it was kind of a blind corner, going way too fast, and almost ran into a little girl. He bumped her, but he didn't hurt her.
Yeah.
Now, your trail is pretty straight. You're going to see people. But do you have, like, rules of the road for your bikers? And also, do you allow skateboarders?
We allow any type of, skateboards, rollerblades, just non-motorized. The only motorized is motorized wheelchairs.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen all kinds of people-powered equipment.
Yeah.
But basically, it's just common sense. Just, you know, if you stay on the right, if you're walking and you're biking, but if you're going to pass, to say, hey, on your left, or I'm passing, and that kind of deal. And that was one of the issues we were facing, especially in March and April, when everything was shut down. Everybody went to the parks, which is great. I'm glad people went. But what we were getting complaints of is we were getting all these newbie people who didn't know the rules or didn't like following the rules. And then you had your regular bikers who were trying to get around people or trying to, you know, do the right thing. But these newbies were just like, no, I don't care.
So. Well, and it seems to me when I've been out there, there's always that one biker that thinks he's running the race, and he wants to be a super fast guy.
Yeah.
So he gets mad if anybody slows him down.
Yes.
I think common sense would tell you've got to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, so they can help you. And bikes are now on the lake. No motorized vehicles either. Not even trolling motors, right?
No, no, just people operated. So it could be a paddle boat, a canoe, a kayak. We've seen paddle boards. We had a kite surfer last year.
Can they swim on that lake? Not that you'd want to.
No, no, we don't want people to because the problem is because of the beavers. No, the beavers won't attack, but beavers do carry parasites. And they do carry I pronounced this wrong when I was announcing it, but basically it's a type of bacteria that you can ingest and give you what's called the beaver fever.
Oh, beaver fever.
So I know. I love a T-shirt and say, if I survive, and I said, I lived through the beaver fever.
Sounds like a rock and roll song it does. From the 60s. I got the beaver fever. All right. Now, I assume since you're allowing boats out there, if somebody falls out of the boat, they better swim to the shore.
And there's no lifeguards. So,
right.
You're on your own.
Okay. So if you've lost the paddle to your boat, you're in trouble.
Yep, that you are.
You better start hollering for help.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I asked the last time, and I'm going to ask again, because there's concern about those windmills that are out there.
Yeah.
Do you call them windmills?
Yeah,
is
windmills.
That what they're called?
Yeah.
Have you noticed any pickup in the death of our flying critters?
As of right now, no.
Oh,
but
good.
But I will probably admit, over time, there probably will be some. Now, what's great about the ones we have is they're very spaced out. Versus ones when you go out west or either northwestern Ohio, when they're in that nice continual line, that's where you see a lot of the death rates. And it's not just birds, but it's also bats.
Well,
when you were mentioning your story
about
the bat running in, so what happens when they do that echolocation, they hit the blade. Well, that blade's already spun, and that bat's it's gone, and then they end up getting
those
hit.
Blades go completely around about every 5 seconds.
Yes,
so they're moving pretty fast. They don't look like it from a distance,
are.
But I wouldn't want to be a bat around one of those.
No.
But now I really like looking at those. They fascinate.
They are memorizing.
Mesmerizing?
Yes. Yeah.
Memorizing. Mesmerizing.
Yes.
Yes. I do enjoy looking at them, and I love the idea that we're able to generate our own energy without...
And clean energy.
Clean, yes, absolutely. And I think eventually those blades will be much smaller and generate...
They could.
I think technology will catch up. Well, James Anderson, our Marion County Park District naturalist, has been our guest, and I'd like to thank you very much. We've only got about 10 seconds, so I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, we'll do this again next month.
Next month.
You're listening to WWGH, Glenn Coble here with James Anderson, and we're going to get out of here, and I'll be back on in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.